Some of you know I've been sick, a little sick this week. I wasn't able to be here Wednesday night. I got sent home Friday morning from trying to clean the church. And I've had several people tell me this morning I just need to take it easy. So I'm going to do my best to take it easy as I preach this morning. We're going to talk about Moses. Moses is one of my favorite Old Testament characters. I like Moses because he was human. He had some faults. He made some mistakes, and I can identify with him. He doubted himself. He doubted what God could do with him. I can identify with him. But then he trusted God, and he used God. He let God lead him and let God use him to do what God wanted him to do, regardless of the doubts that Moses had about himself. You know the story. When Moses was born, his mom and dad broke the law of the land and risked their life to save his. The law of the land was every little baby boy that was born was to be thrown into the river to the crocodiles. He was to be killed. And Moses' parents made a little, or his mom made a little ark of bulrushes and set it in the river. He was found by the princes of Egypt, taken into their home. For the first 40 years of his life, he was trained by Pharaoh to be a leader in Egypt. When he left Egypt, he was trained for the next 40 years in the wilderness by God to be God's leader. And then God called him. He saw a bush that burned but wasn't consumed. And God said, "Moses, I've got a job for you. I've got a mission for you to accomplish. I want you to go to Egypt. I want you to tell Pharaoh to let my people go." And here's the message that he delivered. He said, "Pharaoh, we're God's people. God has called us to serve him. You need to let us go so that we can go and be obedient to what God has called us to do. And we're going to be obedient, so you need to let us go." Well, you know the story. God hardened Pharaoh's heart. He wouldn't let them go, so God had to show his power to Pharaoh. He sent some plagues to the land. He turned the water in the river to blood. He sent frogs. Now, the magicians were able to do those same things. They could somehow turn water to blood, and they brought forth frogs, and so Pharaoh didn't think much of the first two plagues. The third one was lice. The magicians tried to bring up the lice. They couldn't. And at the third plague, the magician said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God. You need to let those people go." Well, Pharaoh didn't. The next plague that God sent was flies. And when the flies were there, Pharaoh tried talking to Moses and said, "Now look, okay, I'm going to let you go sacrifice to your God, but why don't you just do it here in Egypt? Why do you got to go away? Why don't you just, right where you are, why don't you just offer your sacrifices here to your God right where you are?" And Moses said to Pharaoh, "No, we're an abomination to the Egyptians. If we try to offer our sacrifices here, they'll stone us. We need to take a 3-day journey." And Pharaoh said, "Well, all right, I'll let you leave Egypt, but why do you got to go 3 days? Why don't you just go a day? Why don't you just go a little bit away from Egypt? None of the Egyptians will be able to see you there, and they won't stone you. Just go a little bit away from Egypt." Moses said, "No, we got to go where God tells us to go." And so God sent more plagues. He killed their cattle. He sent boils. He sent hail and fire. And Pharaoh said, "Okay, I'm going to have to let you go, but why don't just the men go? All the women and the children, you leave them here. You men can go into the wilderness and you can serve your God, but no women and children." And Moses said, "No, everybody's got to go. We're not leaving anybody behind." And so God sent more plagues. He sent the locusts, and then he sent the darkness. And Pharaoh said, "Okay, look, I'll let everybody go. I'll let you go 3 days' journey into the wilderness, but just leave all your animals here. Just leave all your wealth here. You can go just like you've asked. You can take everybody with you. You can make the 3-day journey into the wilderness. You can go, but just leave all the animals here. And I like what Moses said. No, we don't know how many we're going to need for sacrifices. There shall not an hoof be left behind. Not one hoof shall be left behind. Well, now, I don't know if things were different back there. I don't know if they had one hoof cows. I don't know. I mean, the fact that Moses said not one hoof should be left behind, you would think he would say not one animal would be left behind. And most animals have at least 2, if not 4 hoofs. But Moses said, no, we're not going to leave any animal behind. In fact, we're not even going to leave, if there's a hoof loof somewhere, we're not even going to leave that behind. We're taking that with us too. And Pharaoh said, no, you can't go. So God had to send another plague. The death of the firstborn, the first Passover, where God told his people, look, the death angel's coming into Egypt. He's going to kill the firstborn in every family. I want you to kill a perfect lamb. I want you to take the blood of that lamb and sprinkle it on the doorpost. And when the death angel comes that night to kill all the firstborn, when he sees the blood on the doorpost, he'll pass over that house. And he'll pass over so that he won't kill the firstborn in that house. That's where the Jews get their celebration of Passover. And that's where we get a clear picture of the Passover lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when God sent that plague, Pharaoh said, okay, get out of here. Leave. Now, I want you to notice, and I tried to point it out as we were going through the plagues, how Pharaoh tried to get Moses to compromise. God had said, you go tell Pharaoh, you're my people, and I want you to serve me, and you have to go a 3-day journey, and you have to take everybody, and you have to take all your animals with you. You go tell Pharaoh that that's what I told you to do. And Pharaoh said, well, okay, let's compromise. Rather than go a 3-day journey into the wilderness, why don't you just do it here? And Moses said, no, we can't. That's not what God told us to do. And then Pharaoh said, well, okay, you can take your 3-day, you can take a journey, you can get out of Egypt, but why do you got to go 3 days? Isn't a day enough? Isn't a journey of a day far enough to get away from the Egyptians? And Moses said, no, that's not good enough. That's not what God told us to do. We got to do what God told us to do. Then Pharaoh said, well, okay, you got to leave. You got to take the 3-day journey. Well, go ahead, just take all the men. Leave the women and the children here. And Moses said, no, we can't do that either. We got to do what God says to do. And then Pharaoh says, well, okay, why don't you just leave the flocks here? Take all the people, men, women, and children. Take your 3-day journey into the wilderness, but leave your animals here. And Moses said, no, we're not going to leave one hoof behind. We got to do it the way God told us to do. You know, things haven't changed. There's still a lot of pharaohs in the world today trying to keep God's people in Egypt. And God says, I want you to serve me. I want you to love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And God says you can't do that in the world. God says you can't love God and mammon. God says you can't have 2 masters. You either love the one and hate the other, but you can't love both of them. And so he says, if you're going to be my people, if you're going to serve me, I want you to come out from the world. I want you to be separate. I don't want you to compromise with the world. And yet the pharaohs of the world says, now look, that's not what God's saying is not exactly true. Why can't you just compromise a little bit? I mean, you can stay in the world and serve God at the same time. You can go to church and serve Him and love Him, but you can still think like the world does. You can still have the world priorities. You can still dress and undress like the world does, and you can like the world's music and enjoy the world's movies and enjoy the world's television shows and read the world's books and magazines and take part in the world's pleasure. You can do all that and still love God. And we need some Moseses today and say no, that stand up and say, no, we can't. We can't love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength and still live in the world and enjoy the things of the world. And so the world comes back, the pharaohs of the world come back and say, Okay, I understand that. Just don't go so far. Separate yourselves a little bit. But don't be fanatics. Don't get out there on the edge. You don't want people thinking you've joined a cult. I mean, just go to church on Sunday morning. Why do you got to go back on Sunday night and on Wednesday night? Isn't Sunday morning enough? I mean, the Sunday morning preaching service should be enough church for you. I mean, and yeah, if you want to screen things out a little bit, that's okay. There's still lots of good TV shows on. There's still lots of good movies that are on. There's still good music that you can listen to and good books that you can read. And we need some Moses today that will stand up and say, no, we have to go far. We have to make the 3-day journey. God called his people to be peculiar, and it doesn't mean to stay as close to the world as we can. It means to get as far away from the world as we can. And if we need to look a little odd, if we need to look a little different, if people think that we've joined a cult, so be it. Then the pharaohs of the world say, okay, well, then that's fine. If you feel that you need to do that, you go ahead and do that, but don't take your kids. You believe that stuff if you want to, but let your kids make up their own mind. Don't you think they ought to have the right to do that? Why should they be brainwashed by their parents? Why should you stuff down their brains the things that you believe? What do you want to do? You want to warp them? Do you want to destroy their psyche? They need to choose for themselves. I mean, don't you want to give them that freedom to choose for themselves? And again, we need some Moseses today that will stand up and say, that's hogwash from hell. They're our children. They belong to us. The Bible says to train them up in the way that they should go. Okay, if you want to take your kids, then leave your wealth in this world. Leave your treasure here. You can't prepare for the future by giving it all away. It's okay to love God on Sunday if you want to give him a little bit of your wealth. That's okay, but leave the rest here. You got to live in this world economy. It takes money to do that. And so just leave your wealth in the world, and you can say you love God, but your wealth should stay here. And again, we need some Moseses that will stand up to the pharaohs of the world and say, this world's not my home. I'm just in passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. What I'm trying to remind you of this morning is the same thing that I closed my message with last week. We need to say like Moses, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to love him with all my heart, my soul, my mind, and strength. I can't do that in the world. I can't do that close to the world. I'm taking my kids and I'm taking my wealth. Not one hoof shall be left behind. I am not going to compromise. Amen. That's my introduction. Now I'm to my message. I have 3 points. Number one. We are not going to compromise God's plan of salvation. In Acts 4:12, the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men, whereby men shall be saved. No other name. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I'm sorry to all the Muslims. Mohammed is not going to get you to heaven. I say I'm sorry to all the Buddhists. Buddha is not going to get you to heaven. I'm sorry to all those that believe if they join a certain church that church is going to get them to heaven. That church is not going to get you to heaven. Your good works is not going to get you to heaven. Getting baptized is not going to get you to heaven. The only thing that's going to get you to heaven is the Lord Jesus Christ. My Bible tells me that we're all born sinners. My Bible tells me that sinners go to hell. My Bible tells me that there's only one cure. There's only one hope for that sickness called sin. And that cure and that hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. I think the musicians played for the offertory this morning, Jesus is still the answer. Was that the song? Jesus is still the answer. Jesus has been the answer, and Jesus is still the answer, and Jesus will always be the answer. There is no other way to get into heaven than coming through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to move one inch. I'm not going to say that, hey, if you belong to another church that doesn't believe that Jesus is the way to salvation, the door's still going to be open and you can go into heaven. I'm going to say, no, it's not. That door's not going to open because of a church. That door's not going to open because of good works. That door's not going to open because of baptism. The door to heaven is only going to open if you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. We're not going to change that. People say, well, can't you just go along to get along? Can't you just be quiet? I made a hospice call yesterday morning. 66-year-old lady has cancer. She's only got a couple days to live. I talked to her. I always start out, say, what church did you go to when you were growing up? She was so weak she couldn't talk. Her brother was there, and I said, do you guys go to church when you were younger? And she said, well, no, not much. Not much. I said, did anybody ever tell you about Christ? Anybody ever tell you about Jesus? He said, no, hardly. I said, oh, I need to tell you that when your sister dies, she's not just going to cease to exist. And she was there, and I don't know how much she understood, but she was there. I said, you need to understand that when our bodies die, we just don't cease to exist. Our soul, that part of us that's going to live forever, is either going to go to heaven or hell. And he tried to butt in and say, well, she's been a good person. She's lived a good life. I don't know of a sweeter person. I said, sir, all that may be true. I don't know her. First time I've met her, she may be a wonderful person. She may be the sweetest lady that's ever lived. But the fact that she's a wonderful person and a sweet person doesn't open the door to heaven. The only thing that opens the door to heaven is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, what denomination are you? I said, what difference does that make? He said, I just want to know. I'll let you into our home. Can you just answer that question? I said, well, I'm a Baptist. He said, oh, you're one of those narrow-minded Baptists. I said, sir, with all due respect, I am narrow-minded. But it's not because I'm a Baptist. It's because that book is a narrow-minded book. That book says narrow is the way, and straight is the gate that leadeth to life. I don't mean to offend you, but I can't be silent when I see a person that's about to pass out into eternity. She's going to go to hell unless she receives Jesus Christ. Amen. He said, I think you need to leave. I said, can I pray with you? No, just leave. It would have been easy for me to say, well, maybe she will go to heaven. She's sweet and wonderful. It would have been easy to compromise and, you know, leave on good terms. Would have given them hope. Would have been false hope. Would have been a lie. But it would have been a lot easier to go along, to get along. But I can't do that. And neither can you. We're not going to compromise salvation. Number two, quickly, we're not going to compromise the Word of God. We're not going to compromise it. God never asked us to do anything without giving us the means to do it. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. If God expects us to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, then he has the responsibility to give us every word that proceedeth out of his mouth. I believe that he's done that in this book. Amen. This is it for you that can't see it and don't know it, and this may be your first time here. This is a King James Bible. I believe that this was inspired and preserved by God. I believe this is the Bible he wants us to have. Now, if this is the inspired and preserved Word of God, then I ask you the question, why do I need a new King James Bible? Why do I need an NIV or an RSV or an RGV or Living Word? Why do I need any other Bible? I'm not opposed to using those books for what they are. They are commentaries. They are what some man thinks that the Bible says, or some group of men think that the Bible says. And if you I read commentaries. Now, I'm selective in the commentaries that I read, and I don't read commentaries very much because I get more from reading this book than I do about from reading books that men write about what they think the Bible says. I believe the Holy Spirit will talk to me just like he talked to them. So I don't believe I need another man to tell me what the Bible says. I need to go to the one that wrote it. I need to go to the Holy Spirit. So I'm not opposed to you having other translations. Just don't call them Bibles. They're commentaries. They're what men think about the Bible says. People say, well, this book is out of date. It's got all the these and thous. Oh, that makes it hard to understand. Thee, thou. Sorry. Look, you can get you a good Greek dictionary. You can get you a good Hebrew dictionary just like I do, and you can look up the words one at a time. We looked up a couple good words on Sunday school this morning. Opened up a whole new realm of what the King James Bible was saying. I'm sorry. I am not going to change the Bible that I use. God, my God doesn't need to be updated. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. My God does not change, and his book will not change. He said it will endure forever. So you got people today taking different parts out of it. So they say, well, let's take the virgin, let's take the word virgin out of the Bible. She was a young maiden, so they tear that part of the Bible out. You got other people today saying, well, let's take the blood out. You take the blood out, I mean, you're taking half the Bible away because the blood runs from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation. You take the blood out, you're taking most of the Bible away. And then you got crackpots today that said, well, we need to take the parts of the Bible out that refer to God as a man. He could have been a woman. Now listen, if you're going to take the virgin birth out, and I'm just skimming the surface, if you're going to take the blood out, if you're going to make God a woman instead of a man, why don't you just take this book and throw it away because you don't believe any of it? That's what happens when you start to compromise. Where do you stop? Where do you draw the line? I mean, how much do they have to get out before it's appealing to them and before they can understand it? How much do we have to give up before we say, hey, enough is enough? I just soon start at the very beginning and say, I'm not taking anything out. God gave it to us the way that he wants it. I'm going to live by the book that he's given me, and I'm not going to change it. If it was good enough for my grandma, who didn't even have a fourth grade education, and she could understand it enough to get saved and to point her grandson to heaven, then it's good enough for me. I got to hurry. Number three, I'm not going to compromise his standards. I'm not going to call abortion a murder, mother's choice. It's murder. I'm not going to call homosexuality an alternative lifestyle. It's an abomination. I'm not going to put fancy names on sin and call them something else to make them so that I won't offend people and preach against sin. Look, sin is sin. Doesn't matter what the world calls it. Doesn't matter how the world tries to dress it up. We need some Moseses today that'll stand up and say, no, I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to do it in Egypt. I'm not just going to go a day's journey. I'm not leaving my kids. I'm not leaving my wealth. I'm going to serve God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. And when the Bible says something is sin, it's sin. And I want to get as far away from it as I can. You know what most Christians do? Let's say this whole platform represents the world. This is the world. This is how the world thinks. This is the world priorities. This is the things that the world says should be important in your life. Okay? And the edge of the platform here is the edge of that way of thinking, of all that the world stands for. You know what most Christians want to do? They want to live right here. They want to live right here. They want to live right next to the world. Now, And they say, well, I'm living for God. Look at it. I'm not in the world. I'm living for God. But the problem is, you're so close to the world that if you fall, where are you going to fall? You're going to fall into the world. Amen. Look, where does God want us to live? I think he wants us to get as far away from this as we can. I think as we grow as a Christian, we ought to keep moving away from the world. In fact, as we grow and as we study and as we get closer to Christ, we ought to get further and further and further and further and further. Boy, I'm coming back here to see what the back crowd's doing. And further and further, we ought to get as far, we ought to have our back pressed up against the back wall and get as far as we can from the world and stay back there until God calls us to heaven. Now, that's where we ought to live. Not in this crazy place. Now, I know what happens. When you get back there, you know what people say? Huh, look at that weirdo back there. In fact, look at all those weirdos back there. They're crazy. They must have joined a cult. Look at them. You know who I want to say that about me? My Savior. And he won't say, hey, look at that weirdo. Look at that crazy person. Look at that person that's joined a cult. You know what he'll say? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done. Well done. Listen, I got to quit. I've done my best to take it easy this morning. I don't know how I could take it any more easier than I have this morning. But listen, if you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, I got to tell you, you're going to go to hell. Amen. I'm not going to try to dress it up. You're going to go to hell. The wages of sin is death, separation from God. That's what hell is. Yeah, it's a place of fire, the bottomless pit, where the worm dieth not, but it's a place where God's not. Jesus is the only answer. He's the only cure. No man cometh to the Father but by him. If you haven't come to Christ yet, this is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. You need to come to Christ right now. What's stopping you? What's stopping you? Whatever else you're depending on to make you right with God's not going to work. It's not going to work. He's the only way to get to heaven. And I beg you this morning, please do not leave this place without knowing Christ. Amen. Without having prayed and asked him to be your Savior. What a difference he'll make in your life. What a change he'll make in your life. And he invites you. He invites everybody to come. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Would you come this morning? Would you? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the story of Moses and how he did not compromise with Pharaoh as he stood strong, as he led your people to be the people that you wanted them to be. And I pray that we too would, Father, not compromise with the world, that we would not lower our flag one bit, but we would raise it high and we would stay it high. And we'd get as far away from the world as we could. I pray for those that are here this morning that don't know Jesus. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd show them their sin, the penalty of that sin. Show them the price that Jesus paid on Calvary. Help them to come this morning and receive him. Speak to Christians. And if we've compromised in some way with the world, help us to come this morning and say, no more, no more, no more. So, Father, I ask you to bless this invitation. Just use it in a mighty way to build your kingdom. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.